We're going to read from Romans 2, and it's on page 794. You, therefore, have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. God will give to each person according to what he has done. To those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. All who sin apart from the law will also perish apart from the law, and all who sin under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. Since they are shown that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing them, now even defending them. This will take place on the day when God will judge man's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares.
Great to be with you again, if slightly sooner than expected. And apologies in advance, there's going to be no question time today. That's not because I fear your questions. It's just that I've got to be preaching this sermon again at about 10:02. So not really time to pause for questions. If you do have questions, do ask one of the elders here if it's pressing, or do email me through the website during the week. I'll endeavour to answer your questions as soon as possible. Should we pray and ask for God's help? Dear Father God, we pray that you would use this part of your word to speak to each one of us today. We know that you promised to, and we claim that promise now, and we pray that you would be active in fulfilling that promise by the power of your Spirit. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I wonder what your instinctive response is when you hear of the latest sex scandal, or a horrific murder, or you read of another tale of corporate grief. What do you find yourself thinking? Do you find yourself looking down on the people involved? Do you find yourself condemning them, thinking that you would not have done what they have done, praising God that you are not like them? If your instinctive response is something along those lines, if your instinctive response is, let's be honest, self-righteous pride, you're just like me. And you're just like the people that the Apostle Paul is targeting in these verses. The self-righteous and proud members of the Roman church. Probably particularly those from a Jewish background. And today, Paul is saying to all of us, stop being so proud. Having said that the gospel is for all in the first part of our series, having said last week that God's wrath is for all, he says to all of us here this afternoon that humility is for every single one of us, whatever we've done, whoever we think we are, however self-righteous and proud we might be. I think he's got four big things that he says in this passage to each one of us this afternoon. And the first is this, and this is not the sort of thing you come to church to hear probably this afternoon, but this is what he says to us first of all. We are self-righteous idiots. Happy Sunday. We are self-righteous idiots. Look down at chapter 2 and verse 1. You therefore have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Paul's basic point is this, is that we are stupid to look down on other people when we are actually just like them. We might not have been caught up in a sex scandal, but we have fantasized about having sex with people we shouldn't have sex with. We haven't murdered, but we have thought about how wonderful it would be to do some pretty unpleasant things to people we know and love. We haven't been involved in a corporate greed scandal, but we do selfishly hoard money for ourselves. Turns out that actually not many of us are far away from those that we look down on. Turns out not many of us actually would do that differently to those people if we had the opportunity. Just think about what Jesus says in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5. That if we're even angry with someone, well, we're well on the route to murder. That if we even look at somebody lustfully in our heart, it's as if we've committed adultery. And so if we've got into the business of looking down on other people, if we've got in the business of judging other people, of thinking other people them worse than us, we are self-righteous idiots. Just think back to the function of those verses we looked at last week, chapter 1, 18 to 32. What was the purpose of those verses? Was it to make us all feel good about ourselves as we look about the evil people out there? No. It was for us all to think by the end of it, I am just the same. I am just as worthy of God's anger as anyone else. I too need to repent and change. Now, I don't know about you, but I do not like that. I don't like having to preach the point that we're all idiots. I mean, I'd like to actually tell you that you're all idiots, but I don't want to include myself in that. But that's what this part of God's word is telling us. Why do we find it so hard to accept? Well, to be honest, I like looking down on other people. It's a little hobby of mine. I like ranking myself in comparison with the people in my small group, with the people in my church, with the people on the staff team. I like feeling I'm better than other people. So much of my self-esteem is done in comparison with other people. I like the fact that I have not been a promiscuous gay man. I like looking down on those that have. But when I do so, what do I prove myself to be? A self-righteous idiot. And if you're looking down on me now, after that confession, well, you've just proved yourself to be a self-righteous idiot too. You've fallen nicely into Paul's trap. So instinctive, isn't it? So natural for us to look down on other people. So natural, so instinctive for us to judge other people. So natural, so instinctive for us to be self-righteous idiots. Well, what are the consequences? Well, the second thing Paul has to say to us is this. Because of our self-righteous pride, we face God's judgment. Look down now at verses 2 and 3. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you think you'll escape God's judgment? God is going to rightly judge self-righteous people like you and self-righteous people like me. God's wrath is for all in the here and now and in the future. Turns out that God finds our self-righteous pride as unattractive as the world outside finds it. That's what the world outside most dislikes about us, isn't it? The sense that we give out that we are okay in here and that everything with the wrong with the world is out there. God hates that too. God's distressed by that too. That's not his gospel. For us to think we're fine in here and the world outside is all evil. No, the gospel says that we all deserve God's wrath. That we all deserve his right anger. Our wrong judgmentalism will be rightly judged by him. Look down at verse 5. We are storing up wrath against ourselves for the day of God's wrath, when his righteous judgment will be revealed. Spend your life looking down on other people, says Paul, and God at the end of time will look down on you. Spend your time condemning the sins of other people, and God will condemn you. We face God's judgment. Which means we need to hear Paul's advice. We need to take on board his advice that we need to repent. We need to repent, in particular, of our self-righteous pride. That's Paul's clear call, isn't it? Down there in verse 4. A lack of repentance will leave us facing God's wrath that we read about in verse 5. So I want us all to just look into our hearts now and think, who have you looked down on this last week? Who have you judged and condemned? What sins have you condemned in others that actually you are guilty of yourself? Perhaps that Christian colleague at work got drunk again and you felt better about yourself in comparison, despite the fact that your use of money is out of control. Perhaps your prayer partner told you that they're addicted to pornography and you felt better because it used to be a problem for you. Perhaps somebody else in this church has spent money on something and you think, that is extravagance that is not worthy of the Christian. When actually you spent your money in selfish ways, but just on different things. I don't know how you've fallen into the trap of self-righteous pride this week, but I guess all of us have. I've been at the General Synod of the Church of England over the last few days. And one of the things I enjoy doing there is looking down on other people. Looking down on other people who I don't think are as well taught as me. Who I don't think are behaving in the sort of way that they should. I spend a lot of my time doing that. A lot of my time looking down on other people in my self-righteous pride. We all need to repent. It is not Christian. Whenever we respond in that way, we show that we have forgotten the gospel. We all need to repent, fueled by, verse 4, God's kindness, tolerance, and patience to us. Knowing that he will forgive us. We don't deserve it, but he will forgive us. We need to repent. But what does repentance look like? What do we need to do instead? If I'm to stop looking down on other people, if I'm to stop that pattern of thinking and behavior, what am I to replace it with? If I just try and stop it and don't replace it with anything positive, I'll find myself drifting back to it. It comes so naturally. What do we need to do instead? Well, here's a surprise. Paul tells us that we need to obey the law. That we as Christians need to obey the law. Which isn't what we're expecting, is it? We tend to think, don't we? We tend to think repentance is just saying sorry. Repentance is just saying the prayer of confession and then going back to how you've behaved before. But actually, repentance, when it comes to the Bible, is recognizing you have broken God's law and then getting on and seeking to keep God's law. Look who gets eternal life down in verse 7. Is it just those who say sorry? No, it's to those who by persistence in doing good seek glory and honor and immortality. Look who gets glory, honor, and peace down in verse 10. Is it just those people who've admitted they've got things wrong? No. It's for everyone who does good. What are we all being encouraged to do? Down in verses 12 to 16. Obey God's law. Verse 13. For it is not those who hear the law that are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law that will be declared righteous. Paul's really clearly encouraging his readers, encouraging us today to obey God's law. And that really puzzles us, doesn't it? We thought that the gospel was all about being saved by grace, not works. Why is Paul telling people to obey the law? Isn't the whole of Romans about a gospel of grace? Has Paul, as it were, lost his own plot as he writes this book? No, we've got to remember who he's speaking to here. He's not speaking to people who are yet to be Christians, who need to hear that it's all by grace, who need to hear of the forgiveness that is theirs through faith in Jesus. No, he's talking to believers within the church. He's talking to people like us who are self-righteous and proud. And he's reminding us who have already been saved by grace that we've forgotten that grace, forgotten our need of the gospel too. He's reminding people that know or should know that the gospel is for all and God's wrath is for all, and as a result, humility is for all. He's reminding us of a phrase that we so often forget. Chapter 1 and verse 5. The obedience that comes through faith. We so often forget that yes, we are saved by faith. Yes, we are saved by grace. But that faith always results in good works. That grace, properly understood, always leads to a transformed life. So how do we show that we have got that the gospel is all? How do we show that it's for all? How do we show that we've got that God's wrath is for all? How do we show we've got the basics of the Christian faith? By no longer being self-righteous, proud idiots. By repenting of any signs of that in our life. And not just doing that by saying sorry, but having our attitudes and our actions transformed by God's Spirit. What would that look like in practice? Well, it would mean us stopping looking down on the people in the latest sex scandal, and instead perhaps seeking to serve the sex offenders at HMP Ashfield. Perhaps join the team that goes in there to Tate Chapel, recognizing that they are no different to us. Perhaps for us it will mean us not feeling proud of our murder-free record, but instead this evening, this afternoon, recognizing our need to forgive somebody who we are refusing to forgive. It will mean us not just condemning corporate greed, but acknowledging our own greed and perhaps giving away a little bit more money than this month than we planned. Over the next week, we will be in a situation, won't we, when we would be tempted to look down on someone, when we would be tempted to think of ourselves as better than them. How about asking these questions when you're in that situation, when you're reading that newspaper story, when you're reading that web piece, when you're in that conversation, when you're hearing what a friend of yours has done? Ask yourself, how am I like them? How am I like them? When have I done the same? And as you do that, as you ask yourself those questions, you'll find ways in which you are like them. The very things you're condemning in them are things you have done yourself. When you ask, when have I done the same? You'll find that there is an example of very similar behavior in your life, perhaps in a totally different area of your life. But you have done the same. We really need to stop looking down on other people. We really need to persuade ourselves. We really need God's Spirit to convict us that others are just the same as us. Having told us that we are self-righteous idiots facing God's judgment, Paul tells us that we need to repent. But he also wonderfully tells us what repentance looks like. Us spending time doing good to other people rather than looking down on other people. That's the gospel-shaped humility that God is calling each of us to this afternoon. Us thinking more and more, I am just as bad as anyone else. And I need the gospel as much as everyone else. Wouldn't it be wonderful for our relationship with each other? Wouldn't it be wonderful for our relationships with the world around us if we really believe that? If we really live that out over the coming week? Let's pray. Father, please send your Spirit that our hearts might change. That we might see that we are self-righteous idiots. That we might be rightly afraid of your judgment and so repent. And not just say sorry, but actually change. And obey your law and do good to people. Rather than just looking down on people. That does not come naturally to us. We need your help. And we pray for your Spirit's power now. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.